in my way.
People can show you the light, help you survive. People can bring you the solace you so desperately desire.
War boys have been sighted, prepping most likely for an assault on our beloved ship.
You wish to know more about yourself? More about the man you've become? But this is a very different world, my friend.
You tell me, son.
Tell you what?
Tell me why I shouldn't land a slug right between your eyes.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 56th episode of Through the Aftermath. I am your host, Sean, and with me, once again, is Jonathan. How you doing, Jonathan?
Doing good. 56? That sounds like we're, like, on public television and about to have, like, be selling stuff for the next year's marathon of shows. Like, you get this handy mug if you pitch in.
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, we actually made 10,000 of them, but they're already sold out.
That's true.
Before we even announced it.
Like, before we even announced it. Like we have no Pip-Boy anger here. No, not at all. Now, if somebody out there is like, oh, here we go. Here comes the Pip-Boy thing. Yes, yeah. I know. Yeah, in my household, I'd just like to clarify, my children know, in my household, I have a rule. You are no longer allowed to say the word Pip-Boy, Collector's Edition, or Bethesda Outlawed. We play their games. We're allowed to talk about it. We also threw the word thimble in there, not because, you know, for any other reason than the fact that we didn't want people to think we were biased. So we just threw a random word in there. We also threw the word Semprini in there, but that's not actually a word. But, you know,
that's a different story, yeah.
Clears the palate, if you will.
Yeah, it does.
We've jumped the shark in my household. we have Pip-Boy anger, you know. Yeah, it's all good. We'll talk about that soon enough, but.
So, yeah, that's one of the things we want to talk about. We have a ton to talk about, and it's been 3 months. I mean, I know we promised, like, you know, we're going to do this more often, and then it was like, what? It's been 3 months?
It went by fast. I don't even think it was like we had a lot going on, but I think it was just like we blinked, and there was 3 months gone. It was like, whoa, what happened there?
Yeah, summers are always crazy.
And
like, literally today here, it just started getting below 80, which, I mean... It's some people it's laughable. Other people they're like, oh, I miss 80.
I know. It's like here it's finally below 100.
So. Yeah, yeah. That's what I was gonna say. It's like you're like 80. Wow.
I'm like I remember 80. Yeah. Any moons ago.
And another thing I wanted to talk about was Dragon Con. I went to that last weekend. That was a lot of fun. So I'm definitely gonna talk about that. But I guess before we do that, let's kind of top it off here with the news, not just things that were, that we've experienced or whatever, but the news itself, we have a lot of things going on. I mean, if we went down the line, there's so many things, but we're going to kind of touch on the big ones. You know, Mad Max, the game.
Mad Max.
How are you liking that?
Oh, M to the G. And it's funny because I'll tell you what, you're going to hear kind of mixed reviews out there because what's funny is I can't trust a review that starts off with, I've never seen the Mad Max movies. Because let's be honest, this game, what it does, I'm just going to tell you straight up, I had nothing but fear on this game because, let's be honest, movies to games, they don't do very well. We had heard quite a bit coming from earlier development builds that the game was not doing very well, that they actually had to bring George Miller in to help fix it. We weren't sure what we were going to look at, but everybody who came out away from it kind of went, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you straight up, what the game does, it doesn't necessarily break any new ground that games haven't done, but what it is the perfect blend of everything that made Far Cry 4 kind of fun, where you had these different thousand things you could do at any given moment, you know, taking bases and running around. You add in, you take all that, but you add in the fact that most of it's going to be kit bashing your car together, and I mean like an insane amount of stuff. And the car battles, and now instead of having... you know, people you're attacking. You have people, and what you'll do is you'll, instead of taking these little mini bases like you did in Far Cry, now you're taking these gigantic, like, oil refineries, and you're killing everybody inside, and maybe your job is to blow things up there. But then you also are trying to craft with, you know, you're scavenging metal, stuff like that, to actually build your car up. And then you'll have these random things, that events that'll show up, anything from scavenge points to the gigantic storms that you gotta get out of, just like in the movie. And then, but the best thing about it is, I mean, it's just, if you love Mad Max, you're just gonna have a field day with the fact that even though it's not breaking any genres, what it's doing is giving you like open world to run around in Mad Max's world. And people who have never watched Mad Max and don't love it, they might get it, but they might not.
Yeah,
You're going to be like, I mean, it could have been bad, and I still would have been like that. But the car battle stuff, all I can say, and I'll throw this out there, every once in a while, you will find a caravan from the guy that's basically the main protagonist, or antagonist, excuse me. And he, as you basically say, there's the caravan, and the idea is you have to take down their tanker, and it, just like in the movie, you'll hear it like, you know, and then you've got to take out all the cars that are trying to stop you, and if you can, you blow out the tires and take it down, then you can loot it and you get artifacts and stuff. So there's just like crazy amounts of stuff to do, and the whole time you're making your car look cooler, and you can do some of the most insane things with your car. I am shocked to death how much fun it turned out to be. Like I said, it doesn't necessarily blow anything away or do anything necessarily new, but it's almost like, okay, when I run around in the car, this is what rage was supposed to be. And I mean the game, not in general. Although if you live in Detroit, perhaps. But Road Rage, that's right. Now this game is what it is just wonderful fun and the nice thing, and I'll throw this out there for everybody, because I know you guys are like me where you go, I really don't have a lot of time to play another game. The wonderful thing about this game, that was like Wizard of Oz there for a second. The wonderful thing about this game is that you can jump in for 10 minutes and have fun and hit up a couple scavenge points, or you can play for 2 hours and have fun. And what it also does add, as the last little nugget, is if you play GTA 5, you know that it has a built-in record mode. Not only does Mad Max have record mode, but it's got like picture take mode, where you can basically take these insane shots and move the camera around and take these wonderful shots of him like walking away from explosions and looking beat up. And they also get points for the bad guy. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. The bad guy's main bad guy's name is Lord Scrotus, which might be the single funniest thing I've ever heard, especially when my fourth grade son is like, Dad, is that Lord Scrotus? And I'm like, oh, God, do I tell him? No, I'm not going to tell him. Let's just don't say that around your mother, son. You know, it's just not, oh, boy. But yes, that's Lord Scrotus.
Don't tell your teacher, especially at school.
We were playing and we were trying to run over Lord Scrotus. I'm like, God, here we go. Child Protective Services. Yeah.
Little meeting with the teachers.
Like, we have a problem with your son. Like, yeah, so does Lord Scrotus. No, it's so much fun. I think that it turned out to be a much better game, and you'll notice across the board. I think that overall, critics and users alike seem to love it.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I haven't bought it yet because I don't know. I'm kind of the opposite. I'm an anti early adopter sometimes. But anyway, I really want to get it. I've heard it's like GTA 5, which I love, except in a Mad Max world. And but I hear there's just not as many. There's not as much to do as far as, you know, GTA has an insane amount of things.
Yeah, you're definitely not in a virtual world for that like that. Yeah. I do consider it more to be like Far Cry 4, where it was a gigantic world, but it wasn't necessarily like a world that was alive unto itself. But you are, it is easy in some places and challenging in others, but overall it kind of comes down to what are you wanting to do and are you having a good time. And honestly, you'll just have a field day with I spent time just blowing up caravan after caravan just because you can do so many crazy moves. Okay, this will put it in perspective. You ever play Just Cause 2?
Yeah.
You remember the harpoon?
Yeah, oh yeah.
The guys who made this game are the guys who did Just Cause 2. The harpoon is in the game, and you can use the harpoon to attack. And so you'll as soon as you pull out the harpoon and you're using, you have this little like hunchback guy who's sort of like your go-to guy, who like is a religious fanatic and believes that you are this prophesied driver who's coming to save him. But anyways, when you switch to the harpoon mode, everything goes into bullet time, and you're like targeting people or targeting tires. So you can rip things off their car or pull them out of their car and even steal their car and take it back to base and make it part of your garage.
That's cool.
And so it's kind of, I would put it more along the lines of a mix between Far Cry 4 and something like, okay, like a game like Mafia 2, where you were really running around doing like a lot of grabbing the cars and just being silly. And, but the storms, my gosh, those storms are so crazy when you see them. Like, you'll hear them like in the distance and they're like, oh, there's a storm coming. And you look out there and it's just like all hell breaks loose, just like in the movie, right down to the tornadoes and being able to fling people into them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I don't know. People out there might be like, I was a little bit bored, but it's one of those where it's like, yeah, trust me, I think you would like it. I really do.
See, I was looking at the reviews. I wasn't reading them, but I was kind of glancing over the scores, and it really kind of bummed me out because a lot of people were giving it low scores. And then, but what you said makes perfect sense. People, you know, I should know better. I used to be a game reviewer. I should know that a lot of these guys, they get these games, you know, five at a time, and they have to just play a couple minutes of each one, and then, you know, and especially if they're the guy who never watched Mad Max. Come on, I mean, that guy should be reviewing this game. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Whose idea was that too? Because when he started out like that, he'd already lost my. I'm like, well, that was dumb. That's like saying like you're gonna review Twilight, but you know you don't like vampires.
That's
like
Sparkles.
The worst example ever. Yeah, Sparkles or teenage girls. Oh no, that just got into the realm of dark. That was really bad.
Yeah.
That was accidental. Sorry, people. No, it is. It's one of those where the biggest argument I've ever heard is that there, quote, is not a lot to do. But my question is, what are you basing this on? And I think you're right. I think GTA 5 kind of set the standard for this virtual world. But if, okay, like in Fallout 3, you play it. Did you play it necessarily to find everything? You found yourself playing it because you just kind of got lost in the immersion of it.
Yeah.
And if you do that with this game, you'll just have fun. If you liked Far Cry 3 or Far Cry 4 or games like that, it's no different. Same kind of gameplay and unlock this, and you don't have to take down any radio towers, but you do have to knock down the influence by knocking down the raid. And there's different groups like the raiders, like totems and stuff, and you pull them down with chains. And it's the car battles. That's where the game just shines, because you know the other thing people say is, oh, you get the car overpowered too quick. My attitude is, so have fun with it. Yeah, you just go nuts. And I mean, you can even freaking customize the emblems on the side that will scare them worse, because you put skulls and guns on the side and people start freaking out because that they've never seen that before.
Yeah.
But the characters are great.
Let me ask you this, because this was confusing to me. I haven't looked into it, but the storyline, it's not, it doesn't follow Fury Road, right?
It doesn't. It almost treats itself like, I get the impression that it either happened right before Fury Road or right after, or maybe it's not even necessarily directly linked, but they do make references to it, because essentially this guy, Lord Scrotus, sorry, I can't say it all that. As like Lord Scrotus, like he is part of Gastown,
which is
mentioned in the film.
Yeah.
And now whether or not it has any relation to who you see in that, obviously it must have, you know, some, but I get the impression that it happened before the movie, because you meet this character who's sort of like you could almost call him like the Oracle, because he kind of seems to be the mystical guy who shows up out of nowhere. And every time you get near him, you start hearing the people, like your child and your wife going like, save us, save us, save us. You know, like it's kind of like he has to face the past, and your skill tree is basically unlocking the past that your brain has hidden.
Oh.
And it's almost like you had the skills before, and now you're re-unlocking them by facing your fear.
Oh, that's cool.
Which was a kind of a cool twist, but it almost treats itself like a different situation. The one thing that's interesting too is I was a little bit worried about the voice being not. I mean, okay, it could have been Tom Hardy, because Tom Hardy, to be quite honest, I think we agreed that it was fun, but it wasn't like the best.
Yeah.
But the guy who does the voice in this one is does actually a pretty dang good job. Everybody else is. Does great, the War Boys and all that stuff, because there's a dog in the background. Like they actually, and it's cool, they actually go into a lot more of the lore of that, because you know how in some games you'll actually meet a new character and it'll actually give you the bio, okay, perfect example, it plays a lot like Arkham Knight or Arkham City, because when you actually get on foot, you have a lot of the same battles where you're doing the exact same kind of fights. It's not as, you know, it doesn't make your hand hurt as much as it did on that, but you build up rage and you can use these special attacks and stuff. But remember how you used to meet a character and it would have the bio you could unlock?
Mm-hmm.
Does that too. And so a lot of George Miller's lore goes further. You get more about the movie in the game because now you're finding out that there's more boys and now younger guys called more pups. Oh. And then you actually have a hierarchy, and then you actually find some of the legendary places like junkyards where people worship it and call it the necropolis because that's where the cars died. You know, it's like, it's interesting. It's really cool. Now, some of it's shallow, but I say it's as shallow as you let it be.
Yeah.
Because Far Cry is shallow too, let's be honest. I mean, after Pagan Min, it was like, well, it's just a lot of running around Tibet. Come on. No, but it's still a great time. I mean, you're going to have fun with it. So.
See, and I'm the kind of gamer, like, you know, I finished the storyline in GTA 5, and then I now just play where I just kind of ride on the train and just shoot people.
Oh, thank you. Or, I'm not the only one who does that. Thank you.
Isn't that the most fun ever?
I ride the train. Actually, my buddy David, his new thing, and I know we're going off topic here, but it's funny what you can find to do. Like my friend David, he always hijacks the back of a car that has a boat. He gets in the boat, so the guy takes off, so the cops are after him. And then what he does is he tries to get the boat close enough where he can flip it and go into the ocean somewhere. Oh. And I was like, who comes up with idiot things? Because first time I heard that, I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. And then I did it, and I'm like, okay, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I actually, when I first got the game, one of the first things I did was steal a truck with a boat trailer, and then I'm like, I wonder if I can back that up to the water and then get in the boat and take off. And
Yeah,
of course you can. I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. That's the thing. That game is just like packed to the gills. And I think that's the thing, is games like that have set the new standard of things you can do. Yeah. But the one thing about this that I really like is, you know, people say, well, you do an awful lot of repetitive stuff where you're kind of taking down different bases that are random, and and it's cool too. The bases, I'll throw this out there. One thing about the bases is you're not just going in and attacking a base. The bases have warning systems. They have snipers, gates you have to take care of. You got to take the gate down. And then once you get inside, there's the guy. Ooh, I just heard thunder outside. Or War Boys. I haven't decided. You know how like on Mad Max, you had the guy with the guitar flamethrower, which we all love.
Yeah.
Well, this one. Yeah. The Doof guy. Yeah. Like he was, this one, each camp has the guy who's like that, and he has the drums and he's hanging and he kind of does this little drum thing as soon as he sees you. Mm-hmm. And so you have roughly like 20 seconds to get in there and kill him before he buffs everybody.
Oh, okay.
And so there's almost this time limit. Hurry up and get in there. And I mean, if he buffs everybody, they get extra bonuses and you try. But let's be honest, you never, even if it's repetitive, you never get tired of what being max and beating the living crap out of people. I mean,
that's true. Yeah.
I've been doing camp after camp and I'm still like giddy going, that was awesome when I just did that. Cause in Arkham City, you never felt, you did some cool moves, but it was a lot of like hit him, punch him, go over here, punch him. In this, I feel like there's a little more. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like I'm doing more moves that are kind of fancy and it's more fun to me. It doesn't feel as much button mashing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Somebody might argue that. But it's the car ultimately is going to be a star of your show.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I've loved it.
It's been great. I've been having fun.
Well, you've convinced me. I'm going to buy it. Then.
Yeah, I think you'll have fun with it. I think you will. And like I said, it's as fun as you want it to be. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then I guess, you know, along those same lines with gaming and news, we have more information about Fallout 4. You know, last time we recorded, it was right after E3, and they just made the announcements and everything, so we were talking about that. But, you know, now we have more information. We have the DLC, which they've announced before the game launches, which, you know, it kind of bothered some people, but it doesn't bother me. I mean, does it bother you?
No, not at all, because at least it shows that they're going to do it, and we know it's in the very beginning of 2016, so.
Yeah, I mean, they would be crazy not to put you know, everything 200% behind Fallout 4. It's such a successful title. I mean, the community behind it is amazing. And it's good to know that they're, you know, like you said, that they're throwing this support behind it and letting us know that they, you know, they plan some long-term stuff. And, you know, we knew they were going to do that because look what they've done with, you know, New Vegas and 3.
Yeah.
But it's just good to know. It's like this reassurance that they're not just kind of throwing it out there.
Pass. They've never done that before. This is, cause some people are like, oh, season pass, everybody does that. I'm like, yeah, but Bethesda never did. They would always make you go buy the next one. And if I can buy the season pass, all I heard was you buy the season pass and you get the DLC. Cause that, remember how frustrating that was? You'd have to wait till you had the scrounge of the $5-$10.
Yeah.
And you know, no more jokes about horse armor, but, you know, it's what it did was it showed that they've got that in line. And we know when. One thing I'm hoping that they do. Okay. Check this out. So here's a thought. Do you remember when Skyrim came out? Do you remember when they talked about having that week that they gave their own developers when they were allowed to just go buck wild and build whatever they want,
no matter
how goofball it was? And some of the best mods they next released was coming from them.
Yeah.
Like Letting You Ride the Dragons. One of them was like making the AI more intuitive, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that they kept that tradition going because, oh my gosh, the stuff that came out of Skyrim was insane. And now we know, I don't know if you caught this. Did you catch that blurb from them that there was over 110,000 lines, which was, more than Skyrim and Fallout put together.
Yeah.
And then they said art assets, because they got an art book coming out, there was twice as many art assets as Skyrim had.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, how much crap is that? Like, that's so much. Yeah. But 110,000 lines.
That's insane.
I wonder how much mine has. See, the thing is, though, in mine, they're not so much lines. I mean, in our mod, the reason there's that much, and we'll get to that. The reason there's that much is because we, you know, me and Sean, what we did was we just added a bunch of like random stuff, even when you're talking to the different followers or whatever, that, because it gets boring here and repetitive stuff. So I'm hoping that this time in Fallout, we're past the kind of over repetitive guys who say the same thing over and over. But it definitely seems like better technology, especially if they're putting mods on PS4 of all things. I mean, like, mods finally, golly.
Well, in the dialogue too, again, we go back to GTA 5 setting the standard.
The giant book of dialogue, like, yeah. A Bible thick. Yeah,
I mean, you bump into someone and they tell you something. You drive by someone, they tell you, you know, different. There are so many different triggers for every person walking down the street in that game. It's amazing, and if they do that. You know, if they've kind of maybe looked at GTA 5 and took that as a stepping stone and said, okay, this is what we have to achieve, you know, and that has to be our goal, then it makes sense. I mean, they get away from the, you know, the guy, the NPC in, say, even in Skyrim, they did this where there were NPCs that would say the same thing over and over again. And, you know, and it just makes it so much more fun to have a big variety depending on so many different triggers on just a random NPC walking down the street, you know?
I think that that's the kicker this time is, I think that, you know, having done the mod and having to go around all these things, I'm starting to realize that, because we assumed a lot of what they did out of time and limitation. Now, with New Vegas, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But I think they did a lot of what they did with limitations because they were working around the engine. And the engine was clunky, and it did have these limits of memory. And now they're using this full-blown engine that they've been developing all this time, especially with Skyrim being the test bed. And we all know, like, Skyrim was like, your jaw hit the floor, amazing, you know?
Yeah.
And so we were all like, well, what's the next one going to look like? And so, and then on top of that, I mean, Emil Pegler, I'm going to butcher his name, Pegliarulo, whatever his name is. We need like a button you can press that they can say like really hard names, and then we don't have to keep saying the wrong thing. He being the lead writer, of course, of all the Fallout ones, he actually said that this one is the closest to his heart because he grew up in Boston. So you know you're going to get that extra level of like that. You could tell they went all out and threw everything they had at this because why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
God, it seems like the whole world came away from E3 more about that game. I didn't expect that even.
Yeah,
I was even shocked, but oh my gosh, so much to look forward to in 2 months. So much.
Oh, yeah.
So much room for activities. Look at this.
Oh, see, that's why I have to get Mad Max now so I can play it.
Well, and you don't have to feel bad because some games like that, you ever had the games like Far Cry where you're playing for a while and then you stop and then you go, crap, I can't get back into it. Like Mad Max, you could just jump into it just cause and have fun and run around and then leave it, come back again and have fun and you didn't even care where you left off.
Yeah. Did you say just cause?
Just because instead of just cause I did.
You didn't even know you made a little pun there.
Yeah, I could say like you can play two, so it's just cause two.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Just cause it looks good too. I might add. Now once actually that's what sold me. Funny enough, was that the developers Avalanche, the company, did Just Cause. As soon as I heard that it was them, I'm like, whoa, hello.
Yeah,
but it. Oh, the other thing, my video card, and I just upgraded it. It wasn't the best card. It was like a 570 GeForce, the GTX 570, which isn't by any means like mid-range, but it played wonderfully on mine.
Oh, cool.
I didn't have any performance issues or Arkham Knight issues, if you will. God, it's gorgeous. You just look out the distance and you see stuff out there. Even if you blow it up, you can still see it on fire out there, and it's just you look out and you're like, what is that? And you just want to drive to it. So beautiful.
That's cool.
But anyway,
that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we've got. I think that's the big news for us. Was there any other
Fallout Shelter? Yeah,
oh,
that
Fallout
came out.
Shelter, yeah.
Yes. Oh, so much fun.
Yeah, because that came out first for iOS.
Yeah, iOS.
And I actually tried it. I have an old. I my main phone is a Samsung Galaxy 5, and so I was a little hesitant. You know, I was, man, I really want to play it, but I had an old iPhone 4 that isn't activated. And I just use it as an iPod. So I downloaded it on that and it just didn't work. It froze up all the time. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But they even say don't use it on anything, you know, older than an iPhone 5. So then I waited for the Android version to come out and, I reached 200, Vault Dwellers, and I still play it every day just to maintain, just to level them up and just to maintain, you know, and like fight off the stupid Death Claw, which.
Oh, yeah. it's such a wonderful little, you know, pressure. I mean, it's so easy to learn and difficult to master, and the back and forth conversations, nothing brightens my day more than having a guy saying, I love this vault. It's the cleanest one around, as he stands amongst a bunch of his dead bodied friends. And I'm like, I love this game.
Yeah. It is really, really good. It has so many great elements. I guess to explain what it is it's basically you have a vault, right? And it's like a side view. It's kind of like there are a lot of those.
It's XCOM, basically. XCOM side view. Yeah.
Yeah. And but it's got a lot of the tower building games, even, you know, where you build floors and each floor depends on the other one and stuff like that. And so you have to maintain, power, you know, like electricity, food and water. And the water has to be, filtrated. So you have to maintain these three things, plus you earn money, so you can upgrade the rooms, and then you upgrade your people, you upgrade their clothing, armor, and weapons, and then you can send them out of the vault.
That's so much fun.
To find the special stuff. Like, that's how you really get the good stuff. It's funny because I've read so many different, I started reading all these, strategies for it, and some of the things people come up with is amazing. Like, one person said, have an entire vault full of pregnant women, because the pregnant women can't be killed. If there's like a rad roach attack or something like that, they'll just run around. They won't fight. So
yeah,
you do that. And then you send all the men out. As soon as you have men, you send them out. And so the men are always out, but they come back every once in a while for, you know, to reload stim packs and rat away and stuff like that. So that's their theory. Then another guy had another theory, or a strategy, I mean, about naming people according to their strengths. Like, if you have someone that's high in agility, then their names start with an A.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Or another guy had all of his workers were just like worker one, worker two, worker three, which is a little, you know, not personal. And it's a little, you know, might hurt their feelings.
I don't want to be his vault.
Exactly.
He's a terrible overseer.
and then, you know, everybody else who's training has, special names, the ones that go out and stuff like that. What I do is, I had one guy, I did this for a while because I was getting a little overwhelmed with dwellers for a while. They kept having babies and stuff. So I would put them all in the chambers, the sleeping chambers. And I had one male in there I didn't know. And I thought I was putting all women in one and all the men in another one, but I had one man and the woman one. And so they all were getting pregnant while I'm trying to do other stuff. And so then I'm just having
69. I'm not making this up. I really think it was.
So it just kept, like, I just kept multiplying. And so I reached the level cap pretty quickly. I didn't know it was going to be 200. I reached 200 and I wasn't really ready for it. And then I would have Deathclaw attacks come in. And there was one that was particularly bad when I had like three in a row, and they just wiped out like half my people. And so I said, okay, I'm going to start new here. I'm going to train people, you know, make more training facilities. But that's the cool thing about it. You know, a lot of other games, you don't really get that time where you have to stop and go, okay, I'm doing something wrong. Let me restart this. But this one, I mean, I was almost ready to quit the game when it wiped out all those people. I'm like, come on. Like, how are you supposed to win? But that's the point. Like, it makes you stop and go, okay, I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. What did I do wrong that time?
And it's a little mobile game. I mean, who'd have thought, you know?
Yeah.
But
you can find people from all these other games. Like, you can find the heroes every once in a while in the lunchboxes, even characters from Fallout 4, or the Mr. Handy robots, and I think that's fun because it doesn't feel, there's a little bit of the buy the lunchbox going on, but it never struck me as offensive where I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. It's all for fun, and you can play it without it. You're not going to be punished, but if suddenly you find yourself actually wanting to buy the lunchboxes because they're just a riot.
Yeah. Well, the lunchboxes, what they do is they give you like four, I guess like five different
Like four or five cards?
Yeah, like cards, and then the cards have special things like 100 energy or 100 food or, but there's always a rare one in there, I think, which has some kind of powerful weapon or a special character that can join your vault.
Preston Garver is the one from Fallout 4. I think he's the one who shows up, and then even the sheriff from Megaton, he's in it.
Oh, really?
He's one of them.
So, I mean, and that's something that you can buy. What I've found, I haven't bought any lunchboxes, but what I've found is that there are enough daily quests that you can do that offer a lunchbox as a reward. And I always get kind of disappointed at them because I'll get, I'll get one and I'll open up all this stuff and it has like 100 coins and I'm like, oh, okay, or 100 caps. And I'm like, 100 caps, that's it. I don't know, like I'm already maxed out on water, so it'll give me 500 water, and I'm like, I don't need that. That's not what I need. So I would be really disappointed if I started buying them,
I hope it's not the kind where you can't get the cards unless you buy them, Battlefield 4 and the whole gold pack thing, I think for a while there was some of the stuff where, you got the good stuff only if you bought the gold packs, it didn't. I don't know. If somebody on our Facebook page confirmed this, if whether or not you've managed to get like a pretty cool character or something or a Mr. Handy robot just from a handout lunchbox, I'd be curious to know. But I think you did have to. Yeah, in the Mr. Handys, I think you can actually go online and buy the Mr. Handy themselves.
Yeah, you can.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't think that those are offered unless you buy them. I think that's
maybe that's what it is. Oh, maybe I misunderstood on that. So it's the heroes that you have to get in the lunchbox.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but from what I understand, the Mr. Handys they'll defend against attacks and they'll also collect resources, which is pretty cool.
That's cool.
But I haven't tried any yet. But I have my first floor where the vault door is. It's all my level 50 characters, and they're all, heavily armed, the best weapons, best armor and everything. They're all right there. So any time a death claw comes in, it usually doesn't make it past two rooms. And then the whole rest of the vault is, training and things like that and workers.
I love the lines. Anywhere you can get a pickup line like, are you a vertebrate pilot because my heart's taking off? I'm like, oh my God, that is like the most wonderful, terrible line I've ever heard.
All those pickup lines are hilarious.
Yeah, they're so funny. It's like, I hope you have a map because I'm getting lost in your eyes or something. I'm like, what? Who? Seriously, you can just see, I'd love to be the guy. Like, I almost want them to just keep doing updates and hey, look, just throw us another 200 random lines that could be in this. Just keep adding in random banter.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they had a meeting and they were just like, okay, everybody, just email me your best, and I'd love to be a part of that.
So much fun, yeah, and it's a wonderful way to hold us over till the real one comes out. Only disappointment thing is, and it's a simple one, is it would have been kind of funny if you could have gotten a certain score or gotten a certain amount of people and it unlocked something in Fallout 4. That would have been kind of cool.
Oh yeah,
but kind of like Guild Wars 2.
And GTA 5 does that.
And GTA 5, yeah, for that matter, yeah. So, I mean, it would have been kind of fun to have something transition, but that's okay. I mean, they give it to us free. I can't complain. So.
Yeah, it's a free game. It's amazing for a free game.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like at this point, I could almost make a Fallout Shelter podcast. I play it so much.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's just such a, and there's so much you could talk about, even though it's just such a fun little game. It's it's amazing how much you could sit there and just talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So what else is there? What else?
Other than that, and like I said, I don't give a ton of shout-outs to new games, but one of the games, and I think I briefly mentioned it last time, if you do have fun with Fallout Shelter, one of the games that I had Kickstarter-backed a while back is called Sheltered, it's on Steam, Early Access. Funny enough, it's incredibly... I don't even know. I think if it is considered early access, and I don't even know if it is, I think it might have actually released now. But if you have fun with that, imagine, in the case of Sheltered, it's deliberately kind of retro-ish graphics, but it's still, it's not too bad. And the idea is you have a family and you create them and you deal with it's a little bit of a mix between, the FTL style random events, but you're dealing with all of what's happening to your family down in this shelter that people getting sick and people sending them out. If you like Fallout Shelter, but you want on like a more intricate scale, I absolutely recommend Sheltered. It is so much fun. And the developers are just, you can tell they're fans of that genre themselves because they're making the game they want to play. And they just keep adding more on. And it's so much fun dealing with the stuff that happens. And you meet somebody on the street. Do you dare let them in your vault or do you shoot them? Do you, It's just got all this random stuff going on, and it's just sometimes it gets absolutely ridiculous. Right down to the family dog having a name, and if you get a chance, check it out. It's great.
That's cool. I'm actually looking at it right now. On Steam, it looks like it released on August 4th.
Yeah, it did officially release, and now they're adding on to it. So if you were afraid of a game being early access out there, which many are kind of out there, but I think you would have fun with this. Everybody out there would, because it just seems to be a ton of fun. So
cool. Yeah, I so many games.
I know. There's like every time you think you've seen enough, and then even 7 Days to Die keeps getting more updates, that's been my favorite Minecraft for adults that I've had at all. I love that game. Play that religiously. It's like all these movies, games. What's up with this? Like, even freaking Walking Dead got the prequel show.
Oh yeah,
and it's wonderful. I'm having fun with it. I'm like, God, it's like the world just collectively went like a rat nukes. It's like, oh man,
it's like people are trying to tell us we need to do the show more often. I think.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. Every time we stop, like stuff starts happening, and I'm like, I get it. Okay. So, I mean, it's great though to have all this stuff going on. It's all these things we can talk about, all these games, and the games just keep coming. I mean, like, golly.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I mean, actually there was this game that just got announced. I think it's on Kickstarter or one of those. It's called Dustwind. Have you heard of that?
You know, I have. I think I have heard of this.
It's actually pretty amazing. This game got started by a guy who is a costumer. He has this thing called Nuclear Snail, and his name is Dimitri. I can't pronounce his last name, but he's a costumer. Like, he's this guy, and I don't know what he did for his like normal job. I guess it was a programmer, because he's making this game. But he's this guy that I used to follow because he had these great tutorials on how to make weathered like leather jackets and things like that for like a post-apocalyptic look, and he got really famous from that because he did them so well. Like he had this funny video. It was a couple years ago where he dragged a leather jacket around with his car, and he just dragged it through the rocks, and then he would get out and beat it up with a bat, and then he would drag it around and like drive over it and all this stuff. And it was funny. Like, it was a funny video, so it really caught on. It got really popular, like in the in the costuming kind of realm. And then it turns out he's making this game, and it's like, okay, you're entering another realm that I also enjoy. So it's cool, and it's called Dustwind. I haven't seen it played or anything like that, but what's amazing is that the armor and the set and props and everything that's in the game is a lot of stuff that he's made in real life, like for his costuming company.
Yeah.
So that's amazing, but it actually looks a lot like Wasteland. It's like that three-quarter top view.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I got so okay. Yeah, it's boy, that's a fancy background. My gosh,
it's like Fallout. Yeah, it actually has a lot of Fallout 1 and 2.
It has a very Wasteland Wasteland 2-ish feel. Which that's next month too. Not to jump subject real quick, but yeah, that's getting the director's cut with all the extended graphics. But oh my gosh, it does look like Fallout.
Yeah, and you can create your own game. You can create rule sets and your own maps. And
oh my gosh, like, how did this guy do it?
I know, it looks really, really cool.
Look at the armor and stuff. My gosh, this guy put a lot of detail into making everything look aged, right down to the duct tape.
Yeah, yeah. If you're looking on the site right now, the one all the way on the left, the armor. That's one that he's made. Like for real, yeah. And a couple of these he's made for real.
I love the blades, the rotor blades on the shoulders.
Oh yeah,
like the like car mode. Oh my gosh, look at that. Okay, I'm impressed. Like right down to the way you put the tiles on the ground. I mean, what an ingenious way to do this.
I just think it's so funny that he kind of went the opposite of everyone else. Everyone else will like make a game, and then the community will make costumes off of that. Like there's a huge Fallout costuming community. So he's done the opposite. He made the costumes, and then he was like, I'm going to make a game around this.
Yeah. Really well, and he definitely gets absolute points for probably one of the most elaborately well done web pages. I mean, right down to when you click on stuff and everything starts turning. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. It's Dmitry Zaitsev. I think that's how you pronounce the last.
Let me see this guy.
But I think he's Russian or
Dmitry Zaitsev. Yeah,
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, sure enough.
I always thought he was Polish, but I'm not sure now.
You know,
but
it looks like he's got, is that like a German flag on the lower left? Oh. It does look like he might be German.
Okay, yeah, that would make sense. Okay.
Oh, because it was so subtle, it almost didn't look like a flag, but yeah, sure enough.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. Oh, and everyone has some flags. Okay.
Yeah, the guy on the other side. Okay, yeah, sure enough. Yeah, wow, they got a nice team.
Yeah, they do.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm officially intrigued. I had heard this a blip on this, but I am now officially on board. you have now sold me. And you can tell he's got a passion for it because you don't make armor and your stuff like that unless you're seriously into the genre.
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's kind of why with me and the mod, I mean, that's why I'm so obsessive about it, is because, you know, I've learned so much from doing it that the hope is that I can, you know, doing the game programming for 10 years and then adding into the next level of, you know, trying to finish the project, you know, the next thing would be something where I could say, okay, I made this mod, now hopefully back me on stuff. And we'd see where it goes. But my gosh, I'm actually really, who is this guy's artist? Like the concept art guy is like, gets my vote already. My gosh.
Yeah. And well, I mean, the concept artist has it pretty easy because all he has to do is draw the stuff that Dimitri already makes. You know,
I mean, that's it. He's already designed it. He doesn't even have to, like, that's what's so ingenious. Like what you see movies like, movies like, okay, like the second Tron movie, for example, there's a lot of detail in it because the director had been an architect, you know, stuff like that, where you catch that genre jump where somebody's extra good at, or like James Cameron, he makes amazing movies because he's an engineer, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that this guy has, what a better way to translate over than a guy who really makes the stuff. I mean, he's going to have the coolest armor of everybody, and everybody's going to want him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm officially intrigued. So, like you say, is he doing a Kickstarter? How's this?
Well, I thought he was. I don't know.
Sure enough, he's keeping kind of quiet, isn't he?
Yeah, he's accepting donations. I thought for sure he's doing like a GoFundMe or something, but I can't find any information on that.
It's like he's trying to repent for what happened in Fallout 2 with the ridiculous vehicles and the disappearing vehicles, I might add. Yeah. But like the half track almost looks like something out of Fallout Tactics. And
oh, yeah.
My gosh. Speaking of which, cool stuff. I saw a random funny thing. I saw something funny where somebody had done like Fallout Tic Tacs.
Oh, wow.
And at the Fallout Tactics logo, it said Tic Tacs. It was a little candy. Okay, wait a minute. I'm adding that to the mod. That's too funny. I don't know why I didn't think of that before.
You're here to hear first, folks.
My gosh. Okay, live. You guys just witnessed. And at the very end, we'll talk about the mod. I'll give you the quick update here and what I've been up to. And of course, no, we never give up. No matter how long it takes, we're going to see it to the end. So
the mod never changes.
Mod never changes.
No, it does change. The mod does change.
John never changes. Yeah, John's becoming angry. I'm like, I just want to play him too, you know? I'm intrigued by this.
But so another thing I wanted to talk about was the Dragon Con. Last year, we had an episode right after Dragon Con where I got to talk about a lot of the things I guess as a recap, you know, some of the fun things, Dragon Con is kind of it's a fan convention, you know, it's a sci-fi and fantasy fan convention. And there's a heavy, heavy focus on costumes. And I think that's amazing because it brings out a lot of artistic talent out of a lot of people that probably otherwise don't have an outlet for that, you know, including myself. So I really enjoy it. And last year I went on a lot of there are like different tracks. Like there's a sci-fi track and there's like, you know, British media track, but there is an Apocalypse Rising track. So it's all about apocalyptic stuff, you know, media and things like that. So you'd think that'd be right up our alley. And I don't want to talk badly about it, but here we go. I think it's turned into a zombie thing. It's just turned into like, what would you do if a zombie bit you? What would you do if zombies this and zombies that? And I kind of am getting a little, like, I'm kind of zombied out, you know, on those kind of things. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Walking Dead and things like that. But I didn't really go to any of the panels because I'm looking at the schedule and I'm just like, really? Like, that's okay. So I don't know if other people out there have gone or if they went to Dragon Con this year or last year and they kind of see the zombification of the panel itself, you know, pun intended. But it's I didn't really go to that. So I can't speak about that as much. But there was there were the costumes themselves, and I saw a lot of Fallout costumes. People are making the Brotherhood of Steel armor like crazy. Like when I first saw one made out of foam, like people make it out of the floor mats, EVA foam, it's called.
Yeah.
And it was probably, I don't know, 5 or so years ago, I saw someone made one and I was just blown away. But now you see maybe 4 or 5 of them and there are people who make them. I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a company that makes them and sells them. And I think he sells them for like $500 to $700. It's pretty crazy. But it's all lightweight foam and it looks just completely badass. Like it looks, you know, like old metal. It looks just like in the game. But there's Fallout, costume groups. People get together and they dress as the Vault Dwellers or they dress as some obscure NPC, which I always love. And they get together and they do photo shoots and things like that. And I think that's brilliant. But I was part of a Fury Road costume group and there was a big photo shoot and it turned out way bigger than they ever imagined. Like they made a Facebook group for it to get people together and they decided, you know, they were going to have a couple, but they figured probably going to be a lot of war boys because that's a pretty easy costume to do.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Throw some baby powder on and get some black pants.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people anticipated that. They anticipated a lot of maxes, especially the max that what they call blood bag max. I can't say that. Where he was hooked up to Nux and on the front of the car and everything. And there were a lot of those, but there were, I would say, hundreds of people there in these costumes. And we did the photo shoot and we actually had to move to a different location because there were so many people. And I was dressed as a rock rider. I was actually one of two. There were only two of us dressed as rock riders. Once I was making the costume, I'm kind of like, yeah, I can see why there's not a lot of rock riders. It was really involved and it was hot. Like when you're in Atlanta in August, September, and it's going to be, you know, high 80s, 90s, and with 100% humidity. It's unbearable when you're in a costume like that. So I knew it was going to be hot. I'm used to the heat, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was really intense. So I didn't stay in the costume too long, maybe 2 hours. And then I did, we did the photo shoot, so there's tons of pictures out there. I'll put one in the show notes for today that I'm particularly proud of. But I really, really, really went all out for screen accuracy, and I blew a lot of people away. One of my favorite things when I'm walking through the convention and people are just like, Jesus, like when they see me.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, what in the... And it was funny. Some people thought I was Predator, which that's not the Predator. But it's just because of the hair. You know, I don't know if you remember the Rock Riders, the guys on the motorcycles?
Oh, yeah.
And they had the rags that were just torn, you know, and that looked like hair, but it was, I guess I can
almost see
like
this. Dreadlocks with material in it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, when I first saw them, I saw that on screen. I was like, oh, that's the costume I got to make right there. But it was a lot of fun to make. The photo shoot was amazing. Amazing. I can't even describe how fun it was because not only, here's some of the highlights. There were the Doof Warrior, the one with the guitar and the red, red pajamas. There were probably about 6 or 7 of them, and there were some amazing ones. There was one that had bubbles that would shoot out of the guitar. There was one that had a like a gas pressured thing that would shoot confetti out of the top. But I'm looking at the details in these things, and the people were just amazing. Then there were tons of Maxes. There was even a Max holding a fake plastic door, like a car door. That, you know, like in the movie when he ripped off the door and he was kind of dragging it along for a little while. So they had one of those. They had Max when he was captured, before he was captured with a beard. There were Maxes after with the jacket on, like the different stages of Max throughout Fury Road. And then there were the wives. There were tons of the wives. There were ones that were, I think, legitimately pregnant. Like they were.
Okay, that's actually really funny if they did that and they were. You know,
they timed it just right. They would have to do that right when Mad Max came out in May. They'd be like, okay.
That was part of the costume. Like, all right, honey. Oh, wait. That sounded more demented than I meant for. Sorry. You know what I meant? that's twice that I sounded accidentally messed up.
That might be obscure enough to go over some people's heads.
That's good. That's good. Your attention. Now they're rewinding it. Like, what was that again?
Okay. There were the wives. Then there were the Immortan Joes. There were probably about 5 of them, and they were amazing. And there's a big thing in costuming, especially these folk costume focused conventions where they do gender bent costumes. So there were like female Morton Joes, there were male wives, which is funny. Yeah, Morton Janes, yeah. There were the male wives, which I think was funny.
Okay, that's actually really funny.
Yeah, and there were tons of Furiosas. And there were a couple male, I think there was at least one male Furiosa. But the Furiosas were amazing because there was this one woman who actually had, she was actually an amputee.
Oh, wow. Oh, and I saw her.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the picture where somebody actually went out of their way to build her the arm.
Yeah, yeah. She had that commission.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was, so somebody built the arm for her and she had the correct arm was amputated.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was like right out of the movie.
And it was right in the same spot, like right below the elbow.
Yeah.
So they took photos of her she actually took the arm off and she was doing that scene where she's fighting with Max on the ground and like she's getting ready to punch him and she has the amputated arm up and like they did that scene. They, you know, recreated it, and it was like, that's amazing. Like, she was meant to
make... She looked the part, too. It looked really good.
I mean, she even shaved her head. She did, you know, she went all out, which a lot of them, that was impressive to me. A lot of those women did that. They shaved their heads for Furiosa or for a war boy. There were female war boys who shaved their heads, which is really cool. There was one woman who had, she was completely topless and had, she had little pasties on, and she was a war boy, and it was like, oh, okay, well... That's okay.
Whoa.
And, but also there were
a warbird.
Yeah. There were the women, what were they called? The Vivani or I forgot. It was something started
with the ones who were looking for the green place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. I just watched it again the other day and I'm like, why did I forget her name? Their names already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of them, probably about 15 or so, maybe 20 of them. Which is really, really cool. See if I remember. Or there were Imperators, just the regular guys, which was so cool that people were so into it that they were doing the different levels of war boys, you know, like the higher ups and then they're kind of the, not war pups, they weren't quite that low, but there was just the regular war boys. And,
like the Black Thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, they had a war chant that they did. They took this video and the guys were doing the war chant and it was actually kind of, it gave you goosebumps because there was so many of them doing it and it was like, I'm in Fury Road right now. Like, this is amazing.
That is so cool.
The guy who set it up, his name is Jared Butler. He set up this photo shoot and everything and he is actually, he's in the industry, in the film industry. And he sets up a Wasteland Weekend, which I'll talk about in a second too, every year. And he set this up and he actually has connections to George Miller. So he took a video of this photo shoot and he said, okay, everyone, you know, do your best. Like people brought chrome spray paint and they're spraying their faces and, you know, witness me. And so he's like, do your best stuff. We're going to get it on film. We're going to send it to George Miller. So people are going, you know, they're just going nuts and yelling and screaming. And at the end, we all said, thanks, George Miller. And then, so I guess he's going to send it to George Miller. That's going to be really cool. I hope something turns out of that because that was fun.
Well, it should. I mean, with that kind of backing from everybody, I mean, George Miller, he's having a field day. He's back, you know, he's back where he's got his genre back and he's got, I mean, he made an amazing movie that, I mean, I think it took everybody off guard. I don't feel like I'm going above and beyond by saying it was one of the biggest amazing movies of the year, even from people who didn't think they were going to like it. You know, only good things will come from that.
Yeah, and then we have more coming, too.
And then we got more coming, yeah. We have Immortan coming.
Oh, okay. There we go.
I'm gonna have to change
the rating on the show.
Gosh,
I think.
Dang it! Gosh, dang it! And it's not even on purpose. Yeah.
It's late. It's
stupid Pip Boy. You just hear buzzers in my house. Put down the Pip Boy. Step away from the desk. Oh heavens!
But yeah, so I mentioned Wasteland Weekend. I was gonna go this year. I literally had plane tickets. I had my car rental set up. I had everything. I have my costumes done. I mean, I was going to be in this group. There's this Road Warrior group called the Dogs of War. And, it's set up by, Jim the Tank Dorsey, who we had on the show a couple episodes ago. And he plays, you know, Lord Humongous. And I was going to be there. And we had a kind of a family emergency. And, it's mainly, you know, money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a big commitment to go out. I mean, I'm going from the East Coast to LA. That's a that's a big commitment. And so I something had to give, and you know, without going too far into that, it's just I had to not go to Wasteland Weekend. And
like it really makes just wrong.
Yeah, it really makes me pretty sad about that, because there are a lot of people who I've been talking to for a while, people I know at Dragon Con, and I was going to go out there and you know, be part of this, that tribe, the Dogs of War tribe, and it was really going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, it's not going to be able to happen for me. So we were going to do a show after that. We were going to talk about Wasteland Weekend afterwards. Maybe we'll talk to some people. Maybe I'll get some people together and we'll have some people on the show and talk about it after that. But it's not going to be me. It's not going to be my firsthand account. But oh, and that reminds me. At Dragon Con, I met Aiken. And
great.
You remember Aiken.
Cause oh, yes.
He writes in all the time. I mean, he's been a fan of the show forever. I've played Fallen Earth with him a couple times, and he's just been, yeah, he wrote emails. He, you know, I think he sent in voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been a fan for a long time. I actually been friends on Facebook with him for a long time, and I finally got to meet him. We've kind of crossed paths a few times at Dragon Con, but we've never actually met. Like, we've been at the same places, but we did, you know, this is the first time he was at the photo shoot, and I was like, hey, how you doing? And I had my whole Rock Rider outfit on. He's like, hey, who are you? Take it off for a second. But yeah, it was cool to meet him, so shout out to him. I'm sure he's listening. He loves the show.
That's great. No, that's cool too. Yeah, like I said, like it's, you know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I mean, we live in kind of separate spots. I mean, you know, to all of you out there, don't be a stranger. If you make your way, I know that there was talk of, you know, people here and there going through Las Vegas or, you know, Zion's Park, you know, let us know. I mean, we'd love to meet you in real life. You know, don't be afraid. I remember the first time I met Brent, you know, from Virgin Worlds. I remember like, oh my God, I'm shaking his hand. And now I'm thinking like, my God, you know, like looking back, like now we're all friends and it's like, it was always been that way. And I, you know, I would hate for anybody to ever be like, I don't know if I can talk to that guy. It's like, no, I'm just me. It's just after Matt Jonathan, silly after Matt Jonathan, who says so good and Fallout all the time. And, you know, that's it. So, but we do like to meet people in real life.
Yeah, I've met a few people. Actually, Randall Carter is another listener. And we, that's not his real name. Like, I didn't know that actually, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I won't say his real name, but he probably won't be too embarrassed that I mention this. But he actually took his family vacation to come out here and visit the farm.
That is really cool.
Which is flattering as heck. I mean, I'm a guy who lives on, you know, 6 acres in you know, northern Alabama, and I have, you know, chickens and a million animals, and I just do my thing. And then this guy's like, hey, you know, I want to bring my kid and show how you live. And I'm like, okay,
that's really cool.
That's cool.
How about that?
Yeah, it was really fun. Really great guy. So, but yeah, it's a little off topic there, but
no, definitely. I mean, it's definitely, you know, a shout out. I mean, it, you know, like I said, we like to meet the people, you know.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. I mean, our podcast, and it's funny because I looked the other day and realized that we've been going almost 6 years on this podcast.
Wow.
As of January, it's 6 years. And you know, even though our show kind of like stalled, you know, it was almost going to go away for a while because things were busy. And then we realized it's kind of like The Hobbit. I mean, Peter Jackson's like, I'll never do one again. All right. Yeah, I have to because it's in my blood.
Yeah.
We're kind of like that. You know, it's so, we, you know, and the community is definitely what pushes us. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be still making the mod even with Fallout 4 coming out if I didn't know that there was probably people on the other side going to play it. I mean, I'm not afraid of it at all. So, you know, definitely everybody out there, keep in touch. Facebook, of course, seems to be the primary way of getting in touch. And believe me, we're not all constant Facebookers necessarily. Some people are like, I don't want to be on Facebook. You know what? I'm on Facebook on and off, but I mean, it's mainly for that, you know, for the community. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's amazing. It's like you said, you know, how we keep kind of falling back into it. And it's such a huge part of our lives. Not only just post-apocalyptic everything, but it's just getting bigger and bigger. I mean, all the Mad Max stuff and the Fallout stuff is just growing and growing. And I know we say this probably every episode, but it's the connections are crazy. Like, just recently, I started helping out some old friends who worked at Sony Online Entertainment, and they are starting a new website. It's called Gamers for Gamers, and it's like a community building. I don't know. It's getting online gamers together, you know, to kind of discover each other and you know, make friends and stuff like that. And it's this new, brand new project they're just starting, and I'm kind of helping out with it. And one of the people, Michelle Butler, who worked for SOE back in the...
Yeah, I remember Michelle. She was great.
Okay, yeah. So this is a connection here. So I was never friends with her on Facebook. I knew of her and everything like that, but until we started getting together for this Gamers for Gamers thing, I was never her friend. So she adds me on Facebook, and her cover photo is a picture of Black on Black Interceptor. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh.
And it's a picture of her and her husband. And I said, wait a minute. Do you own a Black on Black Interceptor? And she goes, yeah.
You're my kidding.
Husband. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And so I look at it, and we actually had mutual friends from Wasteland Weekend. So I'm like, wait a minute. Do you go to Wasteland Weekend? She's like, yeah, I've been there every year. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So we started talking about Mad Max. It's her favorite movie. Her husband, Jeff Butler, who is also, he was a designer on, I think, EverQuest.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Jeff Butler was a big meme.
Yeah, so Jeff Butler, it's actually Jeff's car. Well, it's their car. But he's the one who, yeah, he bought an Interceptor and it has a working blower and everything, which in the movie, the blower isn't functional, but the actual movie car. But so he got one with a working blower, and that's amazing. So they do this where they go to Wasteland Weekend and dress as, basically as, you know, as Max and Goose and you know, and they dress as the Bronze. And
it's hilarious.
Yeah, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like, that's my favorite thing in the world is Mad Max. Like, my life, I could quote you, you know, the movie right now if you, like, I'm just telling her, you know, I'm so excited. And she's like, oh, my husband's the same way. So I think, I just thought that was amazing coincidence, you know, kind of a connection there.
Yeah,
so.
Had you heard of our show? The podcast?
No, I don't think so. I didn't bring it up, but I actually need to kind of pimp that a little
bit. Yeah, just be, yeah, tell, I mean, it's like, yeah, go tell her, like, well, you know, we got enough podcasts to fill a train.
Yeah.
You know, 56 of them. I mean, that's actually a pretty good number considering, you know, we do it somewhat casually. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
But, you know, that said, I mean, she would be a great episode to have on the show. I wrote that so badly right out the gate again. What is wrong with me today? Like, I've got, like, oh my gosh. There's like, that's what she said jokes throughout here. And I'm not even on doing it on purpose. This is what we get for doing it late at night on a Monday. Oh, heavens.
Terrible. But, do you remember when, I guess it was just a couple weeks ago when Seattle had that Uber event where they had Mad Max cars?
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically, they had, like, you know, Uber, just to explain a little bit, Uber is, like a personal taxi thing where you can call the people and they'll come pick you up. And they had Mad Max cars set up like that. So, I mean, it was kind of promote the game and the movie a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
But Michelle was actually part of that. And here's the crazy thing too. Like, this is, I feel like I'm name dropping, but this is, this is crazy to me. So remember I mentioned Jared before, Jared Butler, who set up the photo shoot?
Yeah.
The Fury Road photo shoot. He worked with Michelle to put together that Uber thing.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I heard all about that. That was really cool. So I guess she works in some kind of event, coordination kind of a thing. And then she worked with him because he knows a bunch of guys with Mad Max cars, you know, for Wasteland Weekend. So it's like they got together. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to me how we make these connections through a common cause, you know, Mad Max.
Well, it's very true. I mean, it's funny how many friendships we have, even from just doing podcasting, for example. We have so many, like, friendships that are almost closer than people we really know. And I, quite honestly, and it's just funny because out there, people, I don't know if most of you know this, maybe not. Me and Sean have never actually met each other.
Yeah, but I know
more about Sean. Like, I swear to God, like, you almost realize, you forget that, like, wait, have we never, wait, what? Like, you don't believe it because I can tell you more about Sean than I can about people I work with.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind every time I think that, like, wait, that's not right. And then I'm like, it is right. Wait a minute, what? But you know.
I've had a lot of people ask me that, actually. Like, what's Jonathan like in real life? And I'm like, I've never met him. What?
He's he's got a huge head. I don't know. No, it's that's funny. And one of these days, it won't be like that forever. Obviously, you know, there's going to be a place where, you know, Wasteland Weekend or something, we're going to have a crossing paths. But that's so funny, that small world. You just never know.
Yeah.
But wow.
Well, it is. It's over an hour. Let's talk about that mod. Let's get that.
Okay. So, and I'm going to put this like on the Facebook page as well. And just so you know, everybody out there who's going, oh God, he sounds like he's about to like it's been great, but no, I will never quit on this mod. I had a big decision I had to make when I was thinking about this, because we knew Fallout 4, it was coming. It was inevitable.
Uh-huh.
there was a lot of people out there and other mods who got really panicked and said, my God, I need to hurry up and get this out before Fallout 4 comes out. Because, and one thing that is inevitable is that Fallout 4 is a train. You're not going to stop it. To try to hurry up and get the mod done before that would be ridiculous, because when it comes out, all of us, including myself, we're all going to be playing Fallout 4. It's great. And we're looking forward to that. That's wonderful. But one thing that's true about Bethesda games is we all tend to go back after we beat the new one. I mean, let's be honest. We either play the new one, like a lot of us went back to Fallout New Vegas at the beginning before this new one comes out. When this new one comes out and we're waiting for the next DLC, you're going to go back and you're probably going to jump back into something because mods have come out. Yeah. And so I had the opportunity to go, okay, I can either hurry up to finish this mod, or I can take the extra time and because I kid you not, I'm not even joking when I say for the last 3 years, I have been nonstop working on it. I toyed with the idea of throwing a lot of stuff out there, showing things as I went. The more time passed, the more I realized I was better to just kind of shut my mouth until I could show you more, much, much more all at once. And now we're to that point. So what I'm going to do is obviously use the time to fine tune a couple of things. Now, let me tell you what they are. One of the things, if you guys have ever modded in the GEC, and I know that some of you have, one of the hardest things to do is make it not only work with the dialogue and the radio station, which the radio station, that was in and of itself like a beast, but that's great. But it's the level of detail, the LOD stuff you see in the distance, like when you went out of the vault in Fallout 3 and you saw the stuff just out in the distance that you knew you could go to. By default, doing that stuff is incredibly hard because a lot of the terrain generation and the way that it compiles things in the distance, it's such a booger to work around, and there's so many hacked ways to do it that most people choose not to do it because why bother? So what you get is a game where the mod either uses stuff that exists in the real wasteland or things pop into view when they create their own. Well, I wanted to, part of this point of the story was I the world I wanted to make, I didn't want it to pop into view. That was cheesy. I wanted, because there's dialogue that happens when you look out in the distance and react to stuff. I mean, there's one part where we look out in the distance and, you know, we see the place that we're needing to go and like, how do we get there? And I'm, meanwhile, I'm talking about seeing an ice cream truck nearby and wondering if there might be chocolate in it. And that's just ridiculous. But because let's be honest, the whole thing is a goofball skit in places. But I wanted to make it where, you know, screw that. The point of this is to learn. The whole point of this was to learn to make the games and to learn the 3D, which I did, and the Photoshop, which I did. And that's why it's taken as long as it has. But finally, I broke the code on how to do this properly with the LOD intact and places where a lot of people would go in. Like, for example, if you create all the terrain, let's say you go in and you shape it. Well, what you do is you normally have to go in and compile it, and it takes, no joke, it takes like 10, 24 hours for it to compile because it's got to go take all this mesh and make it look different far away and make it, you know, optimized based on which chunks of the world are in memory at the time. You see that when you're walking and things are starting to kind of pop into view way far away. So what happened is the game, it has a tendency to crash. And it's because the GEC, as it stands from us, is a piece of crap. What they used in the professional side making the game, they had tons of tools we don't have. They could plug things in and push buttons and things would just work, and we don't get that. So, you know, anything from lip syncing to terrain generation, all this stuff was a broken mess. And one by one, I went through and helped, you know, pick through it and worked with it and got to the point where now I know it's so far inside and out, I'm actually seeing glitches they made, which I think is hilarious. I'm seeing bugs in New Vegas that I'm like, oh, you missed this one.
noobs.
But I'm doing stuff with it that is actually kind of staggering looking back, and I try not to think about it because I think it would intimidate me to death. But I'm able to pull stuff off now that they couldn't pull off just because they probably just didn't have time or whatever. Yeah. But now I'm to the point where the level of detail meshes are not crashing. They're compiling. I've got lip syncing working perfectly. And really what it's coming down to is like the normal overworld, I did have to, because of the fact that I can now add the level of detail stuff. Before you had the overworld that looked good. Now you'd like the main world of Barstow. I'm kind of going back and replacing it because now with the LOD stuff, you get that, oh crap, I walked out of the tunnel and oh my God, look at all the stuff out there you can go to. Mm-hmm. And I did have to do a little kind of hacks around the side because obviously the GEC is limited on what the everyday one we use can do. So it's kind of like there's some illusions where it looks further than it is. And then you see this with the strip. You're obviously, when you go into the strip, you're actually not in the world anymore. You're in the strip world. It does that for optimization, but it's way cooler now than it was. And a lot of the limitations I worked around, I feel like not only did I break the code on it, but now I'm like, okay, now we got it where we want it, where you're seeing all the things do this. And oh my gosh, it is so funny to see when you guys see like the back and forth dialogue in some of these places and the way I've got it firing. But I've even done things that are that the game wasn't meant to do, like and it's funny how I've cheated it, where you, okay, for example, did I ever tell you guys, like, in the very beginning when you see the slideshow for the game, that what you're actually seeing in real life? I think I alluded to it, that you were actually staring as a character at a screen on the wall, and there was a narrator whispering in your ear. No joke. It looks that ridiculous. Oh. When you hear the War Never Changes, you know, the whole intro with Ron Perlman, he's actually a character in your ear to your left, whispering in your ear, and that's why he sounds like he's right next to you. And it's a hack. I mean, that's how they get it to look like a movie. Well, what I did was I took it further. So when you get to certain chapters in the game, it does the Quentin Tarantino style chapter one, you know, like fades in, and then it actually takes you. You even at the very beginning of the game are doing a flashback sequence where you watch your entire team get killed. What looks like you guys all got slaughtered, and you don't know where you're at or what those things are that are killing you. But all you know is it's kind of like Starship Troopers, where it's like, get out of here, man, get out of here. You know what I mean? And then it goes blank, and then all of a sudden it kicks in that like a week earlier. That's when the game starts. And so I've been able to do these like cinematic sequences by hacking through things under the hood that I don't think that they intended necessarily to be there, but it's one of those like, hey, if it works, it works. Just because I go into the mod and change something under the hood with a script and make it move doesn't necessarily mean, even though it's cheesy hack, it looked like the train went by. You know what I mean? You've got a lot of sequences where things moving that shouldn't have been able to, and I've just went, hey, why animate that? Just hack it in. And it works, you know, because... Huh. It's cool though to see, but where I'm going with this is the time and the R&D that I was kind of fine tuning with paid off. That's why there was like, hey, I've got some stuff to show you, and then it went quiet again, because the stuff I had to show you now pales in comparison to what I'm going to show you. And don't get nervous that out there, people, where you're hearing me say I'm having to rebuild parts of the main world, because it's actually, I'm so quick at it now that I'm just transferring things over, and the map is already there, and I'm just putting it back into place and kind of lining things up. And then last but not least, dialogue. And the only reason why that's the last thing is because a lot of the dialogue changed. You get a lot of jokes or skits, because that's, you know, that's the other thing too. People say, like, why aren't you writing skits for these shows anymore? Well, the skits are all in the game. Right down to the radio station. So but I wanted to make sure all the listeners and everybody was in the loop on that I did finally decide, you know what, Fallout 4 is coming out. Let's not be, we're all going to play it. It'll be great. And I'll have something fun waiting for you not too far after. I'll use the time wisely. And because, nobody's going to want to play the mod after Fallout 4 comes out, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still go back and I play Fallout 3 all the time.
The day it does come out. Not that you couldn't.
Oh, the day, yeah.
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 But I mean, what trying to beat it. So let's say I get it like a week before the game comes out. You're not going to play it for a week. You're going to jump to Fallout 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm smarter to wait till it's done. A lot of other mods are doing that, because once it's done and you beat Fallout 4 within a week or a month, whatever you play it for, you're going to want to come back and play something else. And I'll have it ready by then. And I think it'll, I don't think we lost anybody. If anything, I hope we gained some people, because having played Fallout 4 made them want to go back and play New Vegas up until that time. And just so you know, I will, I started putting up tutorials way back when, before I kind of went silent, because the tutorials being how to do stuff with mods and plug them in without them crashing everywhere. I got really good at being able to know under the hood what's really happening, so I can actually, I've made this mod so freaking clean. Like, you will not have clashes with anything. I'll still have those come up, so I can show you guys kind of the tutorials of how to create merged patches and stuff like that, to be able to use a lot of different mods together without it killing you. And so that when my mod finally does come out, that will be ready for it. So now if somebody were to ask me though, like, what's your ETA? You know, at this point, I don't know. I say when it's done, but it's not your typical Blizzard when it's done. I mean, we're not far. But it's funny, cause it's amazing how much polish can take ridiculous amounts of time, but I'm ready to be playing this just like you guys. So we're getting there. I'm so good at it now, working with the GEC, it doesn't even faze me. So, but cool. I figured I wanted to at least let you know. So
yeah.
That's a lot longer than I meant for it to be. That was crazy.
Cool.
But yeah. Sean's like, hey, you know what? It's 10:30 where I'm at. How about we speed this up there. No.
yeah, I turned 40 last week or this week. I'm old now. I can't stay up this late. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Can you imagine that? I'm 40 years old.
Happy birthday, man. I didn't catch that. Well, it shows like shame on me and my Facebook skills because I didn't even pick up the thing coming through when it probably said it too.
Oh yeah. It's,
how about it's, that?
It's just a crazy. I mean, it's crazy. I just say it to myself. I'm like, I'm 40? What?
Yes, you don't think of it as getting older. Just think of it as being closer to being the village elder. And, you know, they get to just hang back and like, stare at the fire and throw things in it and say, like, I pick you. That's what you, you know, that's that'll be your job.
I'll have to practice that, yeah.
You don't have to be the war boy anymore.
Oh, man. So I guess that pretty much wraps it up.
Yeah.
And I would like to do one after Wasteland Weekend, which is not this coming week, but it's the end of the month, the 24th through the 27th of September. So maybe sometime in October, you know, just after that, I'd love to get, I'm going to try to see if I can find someone. Maybe I'll even get Jared on here, the guy who coordinates it all. I'll see if, because he's in that Dreadnought, that G.I. Joe Dreadnought group I'm in, that costuming group at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
He's if you guys look at the pictures of the Dreadnoughts, and if you know, you know, G.I. Joe, I'm Torch, and Jared is Buzzer. He's the guy with the blonde wig, the blonde ponytail wig.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Jared's the guy who does all the coordination, a lot of the coordination for Wasteland Weekend. So I'm going to maybe see if I can get him on. I think that would be really cool. We'll see how he, you know, how he's recovered after Wasteland Weekend and just start talking about maybe, you know, what they're going to do next year. I want to try to talk him into doing an East Coast one because, you know, I mean, I understand that it's the whole like coolness factor of it is being in the desert. You know, they're in California City, California, which is in the, I guess, is that the Mojave?
Mojave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, you have that aspect of it, but, you know, the end of the world isn't always going to be the desert, right? So maybe it'll be like the jungles of Alabama, you know, or something like that. I don't know. So I'm going to
in Wasteland too.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to talk to him about talk him into doing an East Coast thing. I think that would be cool, or just Detroit. You know, just do it in Detroit, and then you don't have to do any kind of set design.
Exactly. You already have it there. You just pick which abandoned building you want to have it in, and no one's going to stop you anyway. And if people do start shooting, then it's realism.
Yeah, then you're like acting.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody starts like, hey, if you hear gunshots, just start cheering and put your guns in the air and start going along with it. And, you know, there's plenty of spray paint laying around for the graffiti to spray in your mouth.
And if you say witness me, you'll scare them because the word witness will scare them and then they'll run away.
Yeah, that's true. I just tell people like, you know, hey, you know, do not be addicted to water because, you know.
That would be so mediocre of them.
I'm sorry. Every time I think about Mad Max, I always keep thinking about Conan O'Brien hanging there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know why. That may have been one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But definitely, we'll be back with stuff very soon. I think we have a lot to cover over the next couple months. So
yeah, it's our obligation.
It is at this point. It is.
All right. So we have. Let's see. You know, Fallout 4 is coming out November 10th on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. You know, so that's something to look forward to. DLC is going to be $30. Mad Max is out now. Wasteland Weekend next weekend. We've got more Mad Max movies coming out next year. I mean, we've got a lot coming up, a lot to talk about. So you will definitely hear from us again. But if you want to send us an email, you can send it to ttaftermath@gmail.com. Check out throughtheaftermath.com, which is our blog spot where it has the show notes for today and all other episodes we've done, all 55 previous episodes. But the most important thing is check us out on Facebook because that's where we kind of converse the most with you know, with listeners. We throw up little things that we saw today, maybe they're interesting, and I just put a thing on there the other day, a little joke for Jonathan. Did you see that joke I put on there for you?
I don't know if I saw that or not. I need to jump back on that.
Let me find it real quick. I put it's a meme, so it's like a picture of the wasteland, and on the top it says, I make apocalypse jokes like there's no tomorrow. It's such a Jonathan joke, I think.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you got to love the puns. The puns are the best.
So yeah, we interact a lot with our listeners on Facebook. That's probably the best place, I would say. And if you ever, you know, if anyone, I know we stopped asking for submissions for like voicemails and stuff like that, but hey, we're up for it. You know, I can edit that in and play a little voicemail if you guys want to record some little audio thing. You know, I have no problem with that at all. And emails, send us those emails, ttaftermath@gmail.com, like I said. We can read those. And I think that's it, right?
That's it. I think we got her.
So from all of us here at Through the Aftermath, I am Sean.
And I'm Jonathan, saying stay alive out there. That's what Immortan Joe said.
Mediocre.
Mediocre.
So from all of us here at Through the Aftermath.
Stay alive.
wait. Aftermath.
Aftermath. Wasn't that like where everybody went nuts and Hawkeye almost killed himself? Oh my God.
I think so.
There's your blip for after the music's done.